Praise God. Good morning. Well, we're excited about the Lord. We're thankful for the goodness of God. He's amazing. I appreciate the opportunity the Lord gives us to worship Him and to honor Him. We serve an absolutely incredible God, and He wants the absolute best for us. How many understand that? And so that's something that I believe that is of great value. We should make sure that we're doing everything we can to give God the glory, give Him the praise and the honor, because truly He deserves it. We've been in this new series, When You Look Into My Glory, and we're going to continue in that. Today we're going to be looking at God's glory must be praised. God's glory must be praised. And I think that's important for us to understand, and that I believe it's the utmost important for us to grab hold to, that we got to give God the glory. Amen? He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. But it's not just when, this is not the only setting that we give God glory. It's not just when we're singing. It's not when we're just, when we're playing music. We got to give God glory in everything we do. And that's some of the things that I believe is important for us to take note in. And understand, I think that we have to make sure that we're clear on those things. I think that's going to be a big help for us to make sure that we are very clear on that. So I want you to keep that in mind, because I think it's important for us to understand as we go through this. So would you keep that in mind as we go on through this series, that when we're dealing with glory, dealing with the glory of God, that it's more than just a word. This is something you got to dig deep, deep, deep. You got to reach deep as you can to grab hold to the principles of God and the glory that God wants us to understand. So I want you to keep these things in mind, because they're going to be beneficial to us, and they're going to be a help to us. Every time we look at this, you'll see it happen throughout this series. You'll see it as we look into it and continue to do that, continue to spend time. We went over several of them already, talking about God's glory is underived. Well, you got to think about that. You don't just hear that. You know, you listen to it. Maybe you hear it again. You look at it online. But you got to spend time in that. What does He mean, His glory is underived? And then we went... and talked about that God said His glory He won't give to another. He won't give His glory to another. What does that mean? How is that possible? His glory is undiminished. Even though God gives glory to others, His glory is untouched. How many understand that? Very important. Let me tell you. Underived is where we, that's why we started with that. God's glory was His glory, and it was complete in its fullness. What we see is God putting on display His glory that already was there. So He says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. So what does that mean? When it says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. We got to think about this. The heavens declare the glory. What is the heavens doing about the glory of God? It's declaring to us His glory. It's giving us a view of God's glory. But His glory is so much past the heavens. How many understand that? That's why we have to be so careful. That you have to understand, we went through this, your view of God is critical. How you view God is critical. I can tell you that we could eliminate, when their view of God is correct, the issues that we personally have. And you know, if you start out a conversation with some folks and ask them how they're doing, it might turn into a pretty long conversation, because we got issues. But when our view of God, if we compare them to our view of God, them issues are either going to be extremely problematic, difficult, some maybe even impossible to resolve. But if our view of God is bigger than anything that we could ever be in or seen anybody in, then you wonder, because, you know, I always had these questions about this. And people might think, you know, well, man, what's up with Pastor Jesse? Well, he's coming with all this stuff. Well, listen to me. I believe our view of God hadn't been correct according to the scripture. Our view of God. I think about those, you know, we talk about who can make it, who will stand no matter what they go through. We have been so graced in America. Let me talk about America for a little while. We ain't been through anything. We've been through absolutely nothing. Yeah, we had a storm. We're still all here. I thought, you know, what my thinking is, I'm thinking, why am I struggling in this hard time, in this difficult time? Why am I struggling when stuff's not going my way? When I hear about men and women who their life was on the line and they had no problem with it at all, I'm wondering, what did they tap into? What did they tap into that their life was on the line? All they had to do was say, I don't love God. I'm wondering what kind of view of God they had. Because our view of God, just the smallest thing, it don't take a whole lot. How many has ever wanted to go somewhere real bad? Like you planned it, and you worked on it, and you wanted to go, and I mean you wanted to go bad, and then some circumstances stopped that, and you got hurt by it. When's the last time you felt that hurt because you couldn't get to God soon enough? Huh? You understand my point? When's the last time that you wept over not being able to get in the presence of God like you wanted to? Where it crushed you. Well, I saw folks, you can't even function when the plan gets changed a little bit. I'm telling you, our view of God's got to change when it comes to the glory. I think about those men and women who stood up, and when it came to God, their life was on the line. And they said, hear it, take it. It doesn't make a difference to me. They had a different understanding about God's glory. And I think that's got to happen to us. It's something that absolutely has to take place in our life, and we have to make sure that we're understanding that. So I want you to take some time to look at this with me, because it's important, very important that we understand it. So let's go with me to go to the next one for me. Mine's still not right, so I'm going to have to wait just a little bit for it to catch up. God's glory must be praised. I want you to think about that. To give God glory is to praise, to recognize the importance of God and the weight he carries. Remember, I touched on this in the opening of this series. I talked about the weight somebody carries. When you recognize somebody who's the man, you know, they walk in the room and you go, might make a comment and say, that's the man. What are they actually saying? They mean that guy is in a position that other people respect him and do what he says. You may have heard that term. That's kind of a term, English slang that we use. They'll say, well, he carries some weight. You ever heard those terms? And let me tell you, it happens in all areas of industry. People look at a certain person in whatever industry they're in, and they recognize an individual, I'm talking about a man, for his position and his weight with the company. And they have a certain respect about him. They wouldn't just kind of, like he comes in a room and they'll go, oh, I don't worry about him. Who's that? Now, if you don't have an interest in that industry, you might feel that way, because you don't. You have no idea. But if you're interested in that arena, you know who that guy is. You heard his name 1,000 times. You heard his name. And when he walks in, you go, whoa. Oh. The man's here. Well, let me tell you something. I think that's been lost in the church. I really do. I think our view of God has been diminished. It's amazing. When I think about the Lord, when I think about God the Almighty, what do I think about? Well, let me tell you what diminishes our thoughts about God. Tradition of men passed on from generation to generation. And it was just kind of, I tell you, that most of the conversation that individual people have with God is when they need something. That's the truth. We've been geared that away. If it hurts, you ask for it to be fixed. Right? If we're running out low on cash, do you notice when you run low on cash, your prayer life changes? It's a fact. We'll start communicating with God a little more. Somehow he's supposed to, come on, God, what you doing? When's the last time you said, God, I don't need anything. I just want to love you today. I just want to love on you all day today. On purpose, I ain't asking you for nothing. I'm just going to tell you, you are incredible. You're absolutely amazing. And the stuff I hadn't gotten become real to me yet, I want to know about those things. Because the more I know about you, God, the clearer it's going to be. So, Lord, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Honor him, praise him, lift him up, recognize God for who he is. Remember I gave you the definitions of doxa, the word glory in the Greek, doxa, and then I gave you the one for in Hebrew, kabod. The kabod is the weight. It's the brightness. It's the splendor. The doxa, the same thing. It's recognizing a person for who they are. Think about that. Recognizing a person for who they are. Now, it's hard to do that if I don't know who God is. But you know where's a good spot to start? He's God. And beside him, there's none. That's a good spot to start. Now, you might know all the attributes and things of God, but that's a good spot to start. He's God, Almighty. And you start telling him that, and he'll start revealing himself to you. How many want that? Very important. Look at the next one. Glory, the distinctive feature of the presence of God, often compared to power, weight, or brightness. Scripture affirms that God's glory is made known through his works of creation. That's how it's made known to us. Did it take the creation for God to have glory? No. See? He's still got all the glory before he ever created the first thing. What's the creation for? So he can communicate to us who he is. Did it take the creation? Did he have to make a universe for him to have a glory? No. That's just God expressing himself. Because he's all of that outside of that creation. And that's what we have to start there. And the whole thing that the Lord dealt with me about this, you have to look into my glory. You have to get this. We miss this point. We lose the whole focus of the scripture. None of it. That's why we get hung up in places. That's why folks get hung up on this and that. And that's why we got so many different understandings in so many different churches and religions all around the world. That's why. That's why we got thousands of Christian denominations. Thousands. Because folks get hung up somewhere on a verse, hung up somewhere, instead of seeking God's glory, understanding who God is, so and then praying and saying, God, give me revelation there, we hang up right there. And if you don't do that like I'm doing that, you can't be my friend. There have been more people killed over wars fought from trying to understand Bible interpretation than you would even imagine. And so I think it's imperative that you and I take some time to focus on the glory of God. Remember that. So his acts of intervention in history and supremely in the life of the resurrection of Christ. So we know that not only was he affected in history, in the resurrection of Christ, but also in the creation. So keep that in mind. Keep it in mind is so important. Valuable that we understand it and grab hold to it because it's important for us. Amen? Go to the next one. Exodus 15, verse 11. Look at this. Who is like you among the gods? Let's get that. So let's just get this out so everybody understands. Notice the word there. Who is like you among the gods? Think about that. Among the gods. O Lord, who is like you, majestic in holiness? Majestic in holiness. Awesome in praise, working wonders. Who? You know, and I don't want you to understand this and be patient with what I'm about to say. There are other gods. Okay? Understand that. What do I mean by that? Well, there's so many gods out there that people worship. But he said, you, talking about his people, shall have no other gods before me. To us there is but, how many gods? To us there is but one. Paul said it this way. He said, there are lords many and there are gods many. But to us there is but one. Why would he say there are gods many? Because they are. You understand? There are. The angels were called gods. Satan's a god. Is he not? The Bible says he's the god of this world that we're living in. The one that we lay our head down to sleep at night. Let me tell you, he's the god of this world, this age. That's about to change. I'm telling you, his lease is up. His lease is up. I feel like when you get somebody living with you, you got to send an eviction notice. I believe the eviction notice has already been sent. And there's a lot of nervous stuff going on in the world right now. There's a fast pace to set everything in place so we can control every human being on the planet. The devil's job is to control everything you do. What you eat, what you wear, where you work, how much you're going to make, it's all being controlled by an outside influence. God's finished with that. But let me tell you, we got to give him the glory that's due him. We got to glorify God. I want to say this again. I think about this verse. Who is like you among the gods? Can we get that right? You ever felt like in your life there was times that you didn't know if God was going to come through for you? There's a reason for that. You're having a glory issue. Tell me one time in the Word, show me where God lied. I'm going to say it again, what I said last week. He said in the Scripture, I am not a man that I should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Just with me saying that statement and what I've said already, I can understand why there's so many different flavors in Christianity, because everybody wants him a man. Some want him not a man. Some says he's only this God, that God. He's three gods. He's four. There's all kinds of stuff out there. But the scripture's clear. To me, when I read it, it's very clear. I've been praying, Lord, just reveal yourself to me through your word. If he can't speak to me through his word, then nothing else is going to help me. Because everything outside of his word, it's been fooled with. Even those who, even that's what I'm saying, even the translation of the thing that we call the word of God. So when I'm praying, I'm not talking about God revealing himself to me through my favorite translation. I make that very clear to God. I say, God, I want you to reveal yourself through your word. I want you to show these eyes that I can see when somebody put a dot when it should have been something else. And you think dots matter in the Hebrew language? Oh, man, it changes everything about that comment. One dot. One line, one cross line in Hebrew changes everything about the comment. That's why he said, don't fool with dots and tittles. You leave them like I put them. But then you got scribes who have to transcribe from one language to the other, tirelessly going through it. You know how they would train when they earlier scribes? Well, now they would train them. They was going through it. Say they was through Genesis. They done been through Exodus, got through Leviticus. And I mean, they worn out, and then they taking breaks, and they going through the scripture. And say they got over to Kings, and somehow, through tiredness or whatever, they messed up. They can't correct Kings. The rule was, start over. So you discard all that, and you go back, and you start over. That'll make you focus right there. Won't it make you focus? That's the right. It'll make you focus, and that's how it was. You study the history; they were very adamant about make sure you get it right. Well, we got this language. We got it there, and then it had to be translated into English. Then all our issues started, and so I pray God reveal himself to me through his word. His word. Because his word is true. When I say it's his word, I don't necessarily mean I'm believing everything that's in the King James. Because there's been some bias in the translation. And I love King James. I think it's pretty accurate. But I also say that about every other one, too. So I'm not just saying that about King James. That's why we got to study. We look at it and we study it. We study it out. The internet has been used for a lot of bad stuff. We ought to be using it for the best stuff. It's an information highway. It's absolutely incredible. We got to change we don't want to use it for evil. We want to use it for good. Listen, you say, well, man, you know, the people come up with that stuff and it makes it so bad. You got to stay off of that. That's nothing but the devil. Well, listen to me. Let me just tell you this. The cells in the brain, in the blood that carries the life, that keeps the brain cells conditioned so it can think, and electrodes can respond to ideas, was all created by God. There's not a human being that ever lived that created something in himself. It's all by God. Now, here's the tainting part. The devil is going to sow a seed in every person. And you said, when is he going to do it to me? Well, it's already happened. I'm sorry to inform you that. You mean I got a devil seed in me? Tell your neighbor you got a devil seed in you. They might as well get over it now because, listen, there ain't no way you could do the things you did on your own. Something had to be driving you. It wasn't God. Let me ask you this. Did God make Adam and Eve sin in the garden? Did God do that? No, I read something different. I read something different. I read that the Satan was there and he beguiled them. He beguiled them. You know what the word beguile means? It means to seduce. He seduced them. Eve was seduced, and then she seduced her husband. Who got the seed first? Eve. What did she do with that seducing seed? She gave it so it's transferable. The scripture says because of one man's sin, death entered. And then it was passed on to all men. I got it passed on to me and you got it passed on to you. If we were born, being every human being that was born, it was passed on to them. I read about one guy that was born different. Because the seed transfers from the father, from Adam. He said from Adam. Once it happened in the garden, there was nobody else. It transferred. How did Cain get that seed? From his father. What about Abel? Did he have that seed? Yeah, he had it. But he was given information. He said, listen. That's why God had to give his word. He had to give information. Did they have to have a law or information when there was no sin? No. He just told them, don't do this. They had one law. That's it. They'd been fine. Because they had a direct link to God. Their connection was to God. To praise him. To honor him. To glorify him. You're amazing. You're everything. There was nothing that they wouldn't know about God. There was no break in that link until sin came. Sin severed that. Now, what we have to do as individuals, we have to fight. We have to battle it off. But we have somebody who came for us. Jesus was pure, clean. He wasn't born into sin. He knew no sin. Scripture says he knew no sin, none. But he was tempted to sin. So what would happen if he had sinned? The seed would have went in him. But he didn't have that seed. Satan tried to do it. The same thing. Same scenario. What happened in the garden happened in the wilderness. Same thing. We went through these typologies. Jesus said no. Adam and Eve said yes. Jesus said no, 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 no. No. So we have now a line of blood that's absolutely perfect, created by God. Jesus' blood is absolutely perfect, perfect blood, created by God in him because of obedience. Obedience. He was obedient to the Father. Everything. Did Jesus have his own will? Yeah, he had his own will. He could do what he wanted. He said, not my will. That means that's his own will. But your will. That's the Father's will. See the battle that was going on? Who fought the battle for us first? Jesus did. He fought it for us. That battle that's going on in every person that's here. The one that gets you on Monday. The one that you just, you know, always pulling you away from God. That seed of Satan pulls you from God. He don't say, oh, come on. Let me bring you to God. Man, he's awesome. He's absolutely incredible. He don't want you to go to God. He knows. And this is important for us to understand. There's so many things I want to share with you and tell you. It's incredible how incredible that God has unfolded these principles to us through his word. And so we want to make sure that we understand this. Amen? Isn't he good to us? Go to the next one. How important is God to you? How important is God to you? Think about it. Is he important to you? Is God important to you? Could you say he's everything? What if God required everything from you? And I say that in a question. But let me just tell you, actually he does. He actually requires absolutely everything. He requires 100% devotion. Does that mean we all got to quit our jobs and don't do absolutely anything, just stand there? No. You can still do those things, but he requires your full, undivided attention. He really does. And we have to understand that. We in the world, but we're not of the world. Jesus did a lot of things. We read about him traveling all over, and he was in the ministry, an itinerant ministry. He traveled in different places. God had his full attention. Did he still function and do other things? He did. But his attention was to God, and we can do that. And we're talking today, we're discussing the praise we give him or the glory we give him, the weight that we recognize God at. I'm telling you, if we recognize God for who he is, it would change everything. Church should not be set up so it's in position to fix all the problems that may arise in people's lives. It's there to share what God already established and to, as a reminder. It reminds you. Remember with Paul's whole ministry, Paul traveled from church to church and he visited these places and then he wrote letters when he couldn't travel. He wrote a letter to them. That's why we got the epistles of Paul. But what did he do? He was reminding them of what's already been done. He was saying, listen, you got to give God the glory. And this is important. So how important is God to you? Think about that. Look at the next one. Isaiah 42:12 says, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastland. When I come across this verse, I say, you know what? That reminds me of us, because we're in the coastland. So God is so good to us. You know, he don't just say praise him on the mountain. He does say that, but not just that. You know, praise him in all these different places. But he thinks about us over here. He's got us on his mind. He says, declare, praise him in the coastlands. Thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. And as I was putting this together, I just threw that in there because when I got to that verse, I said, Lord, you know, you're mindful of us. You're good to us. We're not just over here on the coast, just, you know, God didn't put us here just to fight off storms and hurricanes and put up with erosion and all the different things that we got. He didn't just put us here for that. He said, you just praise me on the coastlands. Give me glory. How many want to give him glory? Go to the next one. It is dangerous when we fail to give God the glory due his name. It's dangerous. I'll give you something that happened, a story that took place in the scriptures. Very dangerous. Now listen to me. Not only is it dangerous for those who come to know God, but it's dangerous for those who maybe they don't have a clear understanding of God. God still must be praised. Now I want you to understand this. There are a lot of people that are in the world that's not praising God. Some of them will curse God. Some of them will say foul things about God. Well, he remembers all that. Just let you know. And let me show you this in Acts chapter 12. If you can turn there. If not, I think I have both verses here. But I'll share what happened here. There was a setting. There was a banquet. There was a party going on. They were all celebrating. Everybody was having a good time. And the king says, you know what? He says, bring in the cups that we took out of the church there in Jerusalem. Bring those cups. So, you know, the ones that they use, that they're supposed to be holy and all that stuff. Bring those. We're going to put our wine in those, and we're going to drink from them cups. And everybody's like, oh, man, this guy's he's so cool. He's the coolest guy to go party with. He's the coolest guy to hang out with. I mean, when he says something, they're running and going to get these cuffs. They're coming. Look at him, man. I know. You know him? Oh, man, we're tight. We are tight. We know each other. We're close. Everybody's glad to be at this party. And the people kept crying out. This is what they said. It was so excited. The voice of a God, not a man. This guy's so cool. He's my God. Think about it. He's mine. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory. And then he finished him up there. And he was eaten by worms and died. Think about that. Why did that happen? He did not give God the glory. He did not give God the glory. He did not give God the glory. I don't want to find myself doing anything where I don't give God the glory. And there's a lot of folks that won't give God the glory. I mean, a lot of people. If you're in a setting and you say, man, thank God. And they say, you know, they'll just, God ain't done that for me. Whew, that's dangerous stuff. That's some dangerous words to comment on. But he didn't give God the glory. And we have to be careful in that. And this is important that we understand how incredible God is. Let's go to the next one. In Exodus 15, verse 6, I quickly went and put this one on. The Lord dealt with me this morning, and I was just praying this morning, and the Lord brought this to my attention, and I added this one real quick to the slide. He says, and it says this, your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. That's just his right hand. That's just his right hand. Now you think about this. What, you know, we have to be so careful and so cautious not to get ourselves out of position, to make sure that we don't do the wrong thing. David was praising this guy. He's the man. And God says, whoa. And he was receiving it as a God. And he stepped in God's area, and God says, that's not going to happen. You remember Nebuchadnezzar's son? And he had a full understanding, the scripture said, of what God did. When Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up, God brought him down, and he stayed 7 years out in the field, and he looked like ate grass like an animal. And his son, he's at a banquet, same thing, partying it up. I'm the man. I got the weight around here. I'm the kabod. Bring in those utensils. We're going to do whatever we want. And all of a sudden, a hand starts writing on the wall. You see the hand writing on the wall? He got nervous. He got afraid. What does this mean? He sent for the people to say, interpret, what's that? What does that say? They couldn't do it. He said, well, y'all know good to me. And his wife says, hey, it's a Daniel. This guy Daniel, man, he's good. He told your daddy all kind of stuff, and it happened. And he come there, and he said, tell me what that means. He said, I don't care if it's good or bad. And Daniel said, well, it ain't good. It ain't good at all. You're going to lose your kingdom. You're finished. And it happened immediately. The Medes and Persians came in and took the kingdom from him. He lost the kingdom. He died that day. So, because he took the glory, and God wouldn't allow it. So we got to be careful that we make sure that we give God the glory due his name. Do we do that? How many think we do it and we clear on it? That's why we're having this lesson. We need to learn this. We don't want to be caught not giving God the glory. Next one. Luke 17, 18. Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? So there were miracles happening, right? Jesus was touching people's lives, and God had given him great power and authority to perform. And so they asked, was not no one to turn around and give God the glory except for this foreigner? So we got to make sure that we give God glory. I want to go through several of these. Go to the next one. Psalms 8, verse 1. Another one I put in this morning. Psalms 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You ought to write these down and remember them. So when you're praying, these are the things you ought to be saying. Don't ask God, Lord, I need something. Don't ask. Just tell him, say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. See what happens. Things will change. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens, beyond beyond the cosmos. Listen, beyond all of that is glory. God is his glory. And then he starts showing that to us in the creation. He's expressing himself. He created the angels. The angels represent his glory. He created the universe. The universe represents his glory. Is it the glory? No, it's not the glory. It tells of his glory. It's God being able to give us a... You ever seen those books that you open up and there's pictures to pop up? You ever had a pop-up? It's so exciting. A kid, you know, they, you know, who wants to look at a flat book? You know? You open it up, boom, it's like a house pops up. You know, what in the world? Who come up with that? They're smart. It gets everybody's attention. Well, guess what God says? Okay, watch this pop-up. Boom, a universe. It's incredible. Watch this. Boom, angels. I like when he went, boom, man. Isn't that incredible? My favorite pop-up is when he rolled the stone away. And he popped him right back up. That's my favorite one. because he popped up, I get to have a relationship with the Father. Isn't that incredible? This is the amazing thing about God. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. If I get everybody shouting that, come Monday, and first thing you do when your eyes open, you just jump out of your bed and just shout that, stuff's going to happen on this peninsula. I can tell you that. I can tell you, listen, we don't need it to happen on this on 23 only. It's got to happen in the living room. Then it'll happen everywhere else. Just imagine, just this group right here, if we all did that, just shout, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, with no music playing. Wow. Can you imagine that? And God, you know, you might, God, what, is that for me? Yes, Lord, it's all for you. I don't need anything. Make it a point to do it every day and watch what happens. Look at the next one. Watch this one. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? Just a few verses down. He said, let me just reiterate it. That's what we ought to be saying. I'm just wondering how, remember we talked about David? That stuff that would come on him every now and then? Give him the power to snatch things up? I wonder where he got it from. I'm just wondering. That's kind of this is some of his quotes. He'd get out there under the starry sky, and he'd grab that little, whatever it was that he played, that stringed instrument that he was so good at, and man, he'd start saying these things. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I'm just wondering, man, he must have been on some journeys with God. And so, you know, he's on one of his journeys and the sheep are just, bah, bah. You know, he's out there, and then a bear says, well, look at him. Look at him. Is he dumb or what? He's, oh, Lord, how much? And the bear says, I'm going to just go and snatch up one of these lambs because, that was a bad day for the bear. You don't sneak up on somebody who's been praising God and giving God the glory. Do you understand that? You know, that's what happened. They lost their urgency for whatever reason in the garden to give God glory for that moment. And he snuck up on them and he sowed a seed in them. And Jesus, 40 days, 40 nights, he never broke connection with God. And so the enemy would come and try to, and he'd say, get there behind. You see, he was always powered up, loaded up. Whatever he needed. And that's what happened to you and I. It's no different. How many want to be empowered? How many want to be loaded up? Whatever you need, it's yours. Belongs to us. We don't have to be pushed down, defeated. There's no failure if you and I understand. Listen, the one who's tied to the tree, and we look at these martyrs, they tied there and the fire's at their feet and it's burning them. They're about to burn them. They're not losing. That's why they have quoted those men and women. They quoted them giving praise to God in their last breath. They're saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One. He's won. He's won. That, to me, that is incredible. I want to know how in the world can they be that adamant about it. What did they get revealed to them? When we have revelation, but our revelation, it's got limits to it. And we can tell where the limits start. The very first time we get all bent out of shape about a situation, that our whole revelation that we have, we just don't see how God can get us out of this. That is our limit. And they didn't have no limits. They could see it. Go to the next one. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Anybody remember that? Where that from in Luke there? There's a little baby been born. I know we ain't there yet, but we might as well start now. That way we start now, you'll understand when we get there, meaning December. You'll definitely understand what I'm going to say. You're going to need this verse. Trust me. There's a baby born. The angels show up. Who sent the angels? The Father. The Father. You know what we do? If it's a boy, we get balloons and everybody display, and they're all pink for the girl and blue for the boys. We're letting people know. Well, this is God. Hey! Get them balloons ready. Them blue ones. Y'all ready? We ready, Lord. We ready, God. He said, all right, go let everybody know. So what do they say? Do they go and say, do they bow down before Jesus and worship Jesus? No. Glory to God. Where is that? Tell me where he's at. In the highest. In there. That's not him. The angels, when they took one look at that baby boy that was born from the virgin, who was going to come and enter into this world and save God's people from their sins, the angels shouted, glory to God in the highest. That's where he was, and that's where he still is, and that's where he always was, and he ain't going to diminish that at all until Jesus turns it over to him, and then he'll be all in all. This is clear stuff to me. Very clear. The angel shouted, glory. You know, we have folks saying, yeah, they were singing to Jesus. I know it sounds good. We want to write stories about it and have our own song published. But they weren't singing to Jesus. The angels were saying. They were making a proclamation. They were making a statement. They were making a statement. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Wow. Let me tell you, we're talking about an amazing God here. Look at the next one. John 9:24. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, a second time, what did they sell him? Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Hallelujah. What did they tell him though? You got to give glory to God. Give glory to God. Look at the next one. Let's see how fast we can go through some of these. Romans 4:20. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. How many think we ought to give God glory? Yes, we should. We ought to give God glory. Look at the next one. Psalms 96. Now, this one's going to catch us for a while here. This might be the closing one here. Psalms 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. When he says Lord there in the all caps, what is he talking about? Talking about Yahweh, God. The Most High God. Why do I say the Most High God? What we started with, what I said earlier, there are other gods, but there's only one Most High God. And we got evidence that there are others because they worship them. What is an idol? What is an idol? It's a tangible expression of what someone believes is their God that's invisible. Did that make sense? So they'll make a god out of stone, wood, clay, or gold representing something they can't see. And then to them, it exists. And they communicate. And through Satan, he's established these demonic presences. They call principalities, powers. To those who are anti-God, those powers and principalities, that's gods to them. But what we say, we sing to the Lord, Yahweh, our God, the only God, a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Amen? Go ahead. Tell of his glory among the nations. How many want to start doing that? Tell of his glory among the nations. We got our job. That's our job. We're going to tell of his glory among the nations. His wonderful deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For he is to be feared, watch this, above all gods. Do you see the distinction here? And that's what we got to do. He said, when you look into my glory, you're going to start, there's going to be a distinct difference, a mark that's going to be a complete difference when we're talking about the Most High God and anybody else. How many understand that? Anybody else? Keep going. For all the gods of the people are idols. You notice that? How did they get the idols? The question is, did the idol make the god, or was the god in their minds, and through their mind, through their thoughts, they made the idol? They're idols, but watch this. But the Lord, we're talking about God Almighty, the Most High, made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. That's incredible. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Think about that. Now we have an incredible, it's amazing when you think about the cosmos, when you think about the universe, when you think about the grandeur of all of that, and you think about the human body and how, you know, all of this stuff that we have in here, just trillions of cells. Not millions, not billions, trillions of cells in the body. And God put all that together in a plan before he ever released it. It's incredible. So when we're talking about the glory of God, it's amazing. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord what? Glory. Has anybody been doing that? Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. See, God don't want us to try to figure out something on this planet that we say, well, surely this will give God glory. That this doesn't exist. Are you understanding that? That don't give God anything. It was existing because of who he is. And we got to undo what's been done throughout humanity. Somehow we're trying to make God be, he has splendor based on just what we can see. We have to understand what we see is a product of the splendor of God. What we see is a product of that. God decided that. It's very important. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. All the earth tremble before God. Our view of God, remember our view of God, it's got to change. Keep going. First Chronicles 16, verse 23. First Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Does that sound familiar? Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Keep going. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. I'm talking about God just letting us know. Don't forget this. Remember, what we're talking about today is the glory we give God. The glory we give God. And it's important. There shouldn't be nothing in your life. A person who comes to God, you're a Christian, you say, I'm a Christian. There shouldn't be absolutely nothing in your life that can even come close to the glory about who God is and what God has done. And you have to keep praying and seeking that. God, reveal yourself to me through your word. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Changes everything about you. It's not change right now, is a choice. That's what happens. It's a choice. Change is a choice. I can decide if I want to do it or not. When you look into his glory, it changes you. You'll be instantly changed. Change is not a choice anymore. I'm telling you, you can't help it. You go in one way, you come out the other way. It completely renovates you. How many need a renovation? You don't know how bad you need one physically until you got something that you can't get rid of on your own. That's when you realize that. What about just going in God's glory and you come out different? You just mean God can do that for me? Why don't you go on and try? Why don't you say, I'm a scribe to the Lord, glory to his name. I'm just going to lock myself in and just start praising God and giving him glory. And you come out and you go, uh-oh. It's gone. What happened? You say God can do that? Try him. I dare all of you to try him. Why don't you try him? Why don't you see God? Doesn't make a difference. You know what I told God a long time ago when I started this? I said, one thing I know for certain, God, no matter what I do, it never changes your glory. You're still God. You still got all that glory. I'm either going to be in it or out of it. So no matter what I do, it doesn't change the glory. If I leave and never come back, it's still got glory. So I might as well get over me and get in the glory and it'll change everything about me. We only ask God to fix what is an emergency to us, what we need to help us feel better at the moment we're in. We're very selective in what we want from God. Don't give me too much, Lord, because it requires too much. I need a breakthrough, but don't break everything, God. I like some of the stuff I got. I'm telling you, you got to say, Lord, break it all. Tear it down. Tear it all up. Run over it. God, I want to be brand new because I want to be in your glory. That's the prayer that God's listening. I don't want to be the guy that's running the show. I want you, God. Isn't he good? The more we give God glory, the more we will see God move in bringing his promises to pass. The more we give him glory, the more we'll see God move. How many want to see God move? You know that move of God? I went back and just was doing a little research and study on moves of God. And there have been some incredible moves of God in our history. But I noticed they all had a common denominator on how they came to an end. It's when man stuck his head up and said, "It's me. Look what I've done." And them things went. All of them had the same common denominator. And so you see some of them still appear like they're having it. They're going, it's going their way. Believe me, believe me, believe me. It's all going to crash. There's no way around it. You say, "Are you prophesying that?" I don't need to prophesy it. I'm just going off of what happened to everybody else. And God doesn't change. He's the same. If it happened there, it's going to happen again. He said, if certain things don't happen, he said, "I got to go back and repent to the ones that happened to." That's what he said. He said, "I have to go back and repent to Sodom and Gomorrah." He said, "You can. I guarantee you, if you think it's going to get away with it, there ain't no getting away with it. It's what it is, and it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time." And everyone, historically, that they had this great move of God, it all came to an end when man rose up. Man rose up, merchandise God, sell this and sell that, and talking about what we done, how we done this, and how we did that, and how we did that. And the glory was taken from God. When you take God's glory, it's not going to work. I want to give him the glory. It ought to be a habit that we have. "Lord, I am without you, I can do nothing." You say, where would we get that language from? Well, let's try Jesus for a little while. What did Jesus say? He said, "I can do nothing of myself." Notice that. If anybody on this planet that ever walked this planet would have had any kind of right, that we would call it, to kind of, you know, say, "Hey, look at what I'm doing," it would have been Jesus. He didn't sin. He didn't hurt nobody. He loved everybody. But you look at what he says. "I can do nothing of myself. What I do is from the Father." He gave God all the glory, constantly gave God the glory. He would never take away from God's glory. Even when Satan said, "Listen, I'm going to give you all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment, I'll give them to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me." He says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He's the only one. There's a certain praise and glory that's given to God that cannot be given. Now, do we praise Jesus? Absolutely. I tell him all the time. Just last night, I was spending some time with the Lord, and then I just started thanking Jesus. I said, "Man, Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much. When you was tempted, you said no. When the enemy tried to deceive you, you said no. And I want to thank you. I'm following you. You're my leader. You're leading me. I'm following after you, and I thank you. Every time I look in the direction Jesus is bringing me, it only points one way, and that's to God. He won't lead you nowhere else. He's only going to lead you to God. But I can tell you a lot of stuff out there leads you in all kinds of directions. There's all sorts of stuff out there. That leads you, and it always seems to me that when they're leading you, it all winds up back. Send me. Send me. Send me your house. Send me your car. Send me your pocketbook. Send me, send me, send me, send me. Are you kidding me? If you don't do this, we don't know what we're going to do. Well, I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going to do either. I ain't sending you nothing. Somebody better stand up and talk about it. And say it like it is, because one thing's for certain, God's not going to share his glory with no one. That's his glory. We ought to give God all the glory. If it wouldn't be for God, none of us would be here. I know one thing, I can speak about me. If it wouldn't be for God, I would be in a mess. And I owe everything that I am to God. Everything. Absolutely everything I owe to God. It's all his. Everything belongs to God. I don't have anything. Anything at all that I have that doesn't belong to God. It's his. If it wouldn't be for him, I wouldn't have it. And God needs to have the glory. Amen? Isaiah 43, verse 5 and 7 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east." Now, when I was reading this, I said, "Lord, that's going to make a moment in the church. I can see it now." Anybody want a moment? Anybody need a moment? Get on the edge of your seat. You're about to have one. Because this is the word of God. This is what God said. "Do not fear. I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east. I'm going to gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." I don't know about you, but I hear God saying this. What we got to do? "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory." Does anybody feel like you've been created for the glory? I want you to know, if you're here and your little chest is going in and out like that, you've been created for His glory. You ain't never going to have anybody love you more than God's going to love you. He says to the east, give them up. To the west, give them up. To the north and the south, you got to give them up. Because I created them for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. That's me. That's you. Anybody got some folks that you know that the devil is just beating them up? Don't seem like they'll ever come to God. You got a promise. I wouldn't have a day that goes by that I wouldn't say that. God, that's what you said. That's what you said. Go back to that verse again. I want to read it again. "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. I want you to see it clearly. How many marking this down? You need to mark this down. "I will bring your offspring from the east." There are some people that God has put in my heart that I love. And I pray for them all the time. And sometimes I got questions. I got, "God, what is..." It would be a travesty for these... I'm talking about wonderful people. I'm talking about your family members. I'm talking about sons and daughters, moms and dads. It would be a travesty for the enemy to win. But I read something like this, and man, it encourages me. He says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you." Do you believe God? "I will bring your offspring from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, you do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth." Bring them. I'm telling you, God's all about sons and daughters. He's all about sons and daughters. You know, I'm speaking this word over this peninsula. I'm speaking this word over Louisiana. I'm speaking this over United States of America and around the world. Bring my sons and daughters from the ends of the earth. I'm telling you, listen. If God can say to nothing, if he can just throw the stars out there, I'm just wondering if he can call the sons and daughters from all around. I'm wondering if he can. What's your view of God? What's your view of God? I know your family seem like they're so lost, there ain't no hope, but I'm asking you, I understand you got your problem here. I know your problem's big. I know your situation seems impossible. I know you got all the reports in. But I'm just going to ask you again, where is God in all this? Let me tell you where he said he's at. Where God said he's at. He said, do not fear. Let me tell you where he's at. For I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons and daughters from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Bring them. Then watch what he says. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. Didn't I tell you he's not going to give his glory? I know it looks impossible. I know it seems like it'll never happen. But I'm telling you what God said. And I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God over all the naysayers and all the negative talking and all the doubters. I'm going to believe God over that. I'm telling you, God said he, I don't know about you, but I got some family members that God created them for his glory. They're for his glory. That's not for the devil. They're for his glory. And I thank God that he gave me that promise. He said, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. I want you to think about this. All the bad and all the difficulty and all the years and all the praying and all the tears and all that, all the bad news and all that, wherever you got it at, I don't care where it's at. You might have it so high you don't know what to do. All it does is just make you cry. I want to tell you this. God is so far above that. He is so far above that. I don't care. You make it as big as you want. If you want it big, make it big. Get on the highest mountaintop you can find and say, my problem is big. I'm telling you, I got a big problem. Go on, scout. You ready? You finish shouting? My God. It's so much bigger than that. He's so much more incredible. I'm telling you the glory of God. And he said, everything that you thought was lost, he said, I made that for my glory. That's for his glory. Do you know the earth was made for God's glory? You think he's going to throw it away? No, he's going to send the renovator. You know, they got the movie out, The Terminator. We ought to make a movie about the renovator. You know, the Terminator, he wants to come and just get rid of everybody. But the renovator. He looks at that and says, man, everybody, and it's, they, look, you ever felt like you was in the junk pile? Well, the renovator shows up. He knows how to get you out the junk pile.
Yes, he does.
He knows how to scrape it all off and put it all back brand new.
Yeah.
We're talking about a renovator. Jesus Christ. It's been the one who came and showed that he can, listen, man is broke. Man is without their God. But Jesus came and he loved the Father so much that God said through him, that's why he made that promise right there. That's why you got to hold on to that promise. He's calling them from all ends of the earth, from the north, the south, from the east and west. Come, don't hold them back. They're mine for my glory. You ought to give God glory for that. He deserves the praise for that. That's a promise. That ought to lift you up. That ought to get you going right there. That'll make a difference right there. For his glory. For his glory. Thank you, Father. God is good to us. Come on, let's lift him up in this place. Let's lift him up. Let's lift up our voices and give God the praise that he deserves. Thank you, Lord. Give him the praise that he deserves. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you do for me. You're good to me. If he didn't want us, he could have left us right where we were. But he called us out of that. Thank you, Father. To you we give all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, Lord. We lift you up. We thank you, Lord. You're incredible. You're absolutely amazing, God. We thank you. The weight that God has is so far beyond anything that we can measure today.